But after that, 30 years later, God says, I've watched everything, and I need to add one more thing. Moses, come here. Aaron, you come here. Here's what I want to tell you to do. You got chapter 19 in Numbers? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is not blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. A red heifer, having to be 3 years of age or younger, a heifer, of course, a female cow, never having been impregnated and never having had a yoke on her neck. Verse 3, and ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, 3,000 feet away from the Holy of Holies. Without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face, before the Lord, to the east of the tabernacle. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin and her flesh and her blood and her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. And these all are reduced. The scarlet ribbon, the hyssop, which is a sponge-like plant that was used in the Passover. They took the sponge-like plant that had the bowl full of blood, Exodus chapter 12. Having slaughtered the lamb, taking the blood of the lamb, they took this hyssop, put it in the bowl, and it absorbed the blood, and then they used the hyssop plant to paint the doorpost so the death angel would pass over. So take cedar wood, scarlet ribbon, hyssop, put it into the burning of a red heifer on the cedar wood. And then it says, get some living water. I love that phrase. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. Remember that song? I love it because that's what it's talking about. It says running water, verse 17. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put therein into a vessel. We did a television program on the Temple Mount, on the southern steps of the Temple Mount of this. And we showed where the aqueduct from Bethlehem was bringing the running water down the aqueduct there to the mikvahs, the ritual baths on the Temple Mount. And we saw the water flowing down there, and I was standing there looking at this living water. See, living water is water that's not stagnant. It has to be rainwater, has to be running water. It cannot be stagnant water. And you take stone pots. Here's what they would do. They would be inside the tabernacle or the temple when it was built. They would take a red heifer. The priest would lead this red heifer, 3 years of age or younger, out to the east of the tabernacle before the Lord and outside the camp. They got 3,000 feet away. There was an altar erected on that spot. At the time of the temple, time of King Solomon, Jesus Christ, Herod the Great, there was an altar 3,000 feet away from the Holy of Holies. It was on the Mount of Olives, the peak of the Mount of Olives. And they would bring the red heifer there. A fire had been prepared of cedar wood. They stood the red heifer on top of the cedar wood. The priest would take his very sharp instrument and ceremonially slaughter the red heifer by slitting her throat. She would fall down. As she was falling, the priest would reach in with his left hand, get a handful of the blood from the red heifer, take his right index finger, and sprinkle blood back towards the Holy of Holies 7 times. They would then light the fire of that cedar wood, and as the fire was burning that red heifer to ashes, they would take hyssop and scarlet ribbon and throw it into the burning fire. I ask the rabbi who is the expert on the red heifer. His name is Rabbi Chaim Richman. I ask Rabbi Richman, why the cedar wood? Why the scarlet ribbon? Why the hyssop? His statement to me, and every rabbi I've ever asked, we don't know. God will tell us. Now, mine is sanctified speculation because I can't take you to a proof text. But I think I'm pretty close. I think that cedar wood represents the cross, a tree upon which Jesus Christ was crucified, a literal tree. And I think that hyssop, 1 Corinthians 7, he is our Passover. It represents the Passover. And I think that scarlet ribbon, though your sins be of scarlet, they shall be white as snow, are cast in because the ashes of the red heifer are then taken and put in a stone pot of living water. And that ashen water is taken and sprinkled on that which is unclean, and it purifies it. It's for the purification of unclean things. The instruments at the temple or the tabernacle itself, the priests who had touched death, they were desecrated, but they're purified with the ashen water from the burning of that red heifer. Stone pots, because those are pure. Living water, because we get life from purification. By the way, that was an ordinance instituted by God through Moses. Every single sacrifice, all the system, was a type, a prophecy, a model of that to come. And Jesus Christ was the anti-type, the fulfillment of that prophecy, the real thing pictured in the model. Go to John chapter 2. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. The first miracle of Jesus Christ. John chapter 2. The first miracle of Jesus Christ. You know where it was. Cana of Galilee. It was the first of 35 or maybe 36 miracles that Jesus Christ performed. Those miracles were to authenticate Him as the true fulfillment of the prophesied Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God Himself. This first miracle does the same thing. Howbeit, most of us, and if you have ever stood at Cana of Galilee with me, you would have to testify. We go into the little church there. We use the Greek Orthodox Church. Listen to this. They got a Catholic church at Cana of Galilee. They have a Greek Orthodox church at Cana of Galilee. Now listen to this one. And they have a Greek Catholic church at the Cana of Galilee. That's trying to play both sides against the middle, I guess. And they all claim to be the spot. I go to the Greek Orthodox Church because it is the plainest. I don't go there because of the church. I go because it's simplistic. And there are six giant stone pots there. And after I get finished speaking on the subject, I say, go over there and touch those pots. Just like. Because those pots could carry about 27 gallons of water. And that's how large those pots were that Jesus is talking about here. Have you ever noticed this miracle? Jesus' mother, had gone to the first part of the wedding, which is the ceremony. And the second part of the wedding, the marriage feast, was to take place. Along comes Jesus, and some of us started to following him. They had come from over the Jordan River. And they come up to Cana. They know mom is over there and say, go to the marriage feast that's taking place after the marriage. They walk in there. The bride's father has just run out of wine. Mary runs to her son, can you make some wine? And you know, he kind of, I just want to develop all that. That's a whole other lesson. I'll start chasing rabbits, what she has said. But he does say something about the wine. I want you to notice what he says. Look at, you got chapter 2, verse 6. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Did you ever notice that? After the manner of the purifying of the Jews. You know what those stone pots with 27 gallons of water in just a moment would be consisting of? Ashes of the red heifer. Those pots were for the purifying of the Jews. How do the Jews get purified? water, ashen water, sprinkled on them. You see, those red heifer ashes were brought from that altar on the Mount of Olives across that bridge into the temple complex. And then they were dispersed all over 37 different locations throughout Israel, where they would then allow the priests living in those regions to take that ash of the red heifer, put it in stone water pots, and thus you didn't have to come to the temple to be purified. You could touch death wherever you were. Cana or Nazareth just down the road, or Tiberias just over the way. And so they had these stone pots that were for the purifying of the Jews. Those are the pots that Jesus says, take those pots, fill them to the brim with water. And he turned that water into wine. Now let me say this. There was not one of the miracles that Jesus Christ performed for convenience. He was not doing that miracle so that the bride's father could be satisfied that there was wine for all of his guests. Not a one of them was for convenience. Every one of the miracles was to cause conviction. Look what happened. You read the last part of verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. His disciples believed on him because they saw the miracle of the water, how we're born, turned to wine, symbolic of his blood that purifies. You know what happened in that first miracle? Jesus Christ took back the ordinance of the red heifer. At that point, the ordinance of the red heifer was nullified. Oh, it continued on. Oh, it will continue into the tribulation period. As I speak, there are those looking for the original ashes of the red heifer. There have been 9 red heifers that have been reduced to ashes since Moses was given the command in Numbers chapter 19. They have a red heifer alive and well in Israel. You can go to my website, punch on red heifer, and it'll take you to the spot where Rabbi Chaim Richman has approved the red heifer. And for that tribulation temple, they need the ashes of a red heifer. Not all of the red heifers, but here's what they say in the Talmud. When the 10th red heifer shows up in Jerusalem, it's the time for the coming of the Messiah, and the 10th red heifer is there. But it's going to be useless except for the fact those Jews who are preparing a temple for the false Messiah, the Antichrist, need the ashes of the red heifer. Because Jesus Christ, John chapter 2, the first miracle, he took back the ordinances. He's the one that says, I will purify from now on. God's provision was for clothing and for covering. And God's purification was in the blood of Christ.